Perfect. Hi, hello again, friends, and welcome to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode number 19, this one titled The Art of Racing in the Rain. My name's Logan Loganity Morris, and thank God I don't do this show alone. I do it with a fine cast of characters, one that will be missing for the evening due to some other more important obligations, but we're still going to have a damn good show for you. A hearty Omaha to each and every one of you. Let's go ahead and bring in the gang. First, let's start out with the show creator, my favorite Canadian during this particular hour of time. I'm talking about Adam Carabine. Come on in here, buddy.
A hearty Omaha to you as well, Mr. Logan. I may not be the best man, but I'll be the second best man, I guess. I don't know. Or a groomsman, always a groomsman, right? Something, I don't know.
Well, that's okay. Denny Hamlin's having quite the career on coming up just short.
All right. He might make the Hall of Fame. You never know.
He might. He should. Yeah. He absolutely should. He's deserving of it.
There you go.
Why don't we put him in next year the way we rush these nominees?
More on that later.
More on that later. Let's talk to my better half, the woman that puts the produce in producer, and I'm not talking about those pesticides at the supermarket. I'm talking about the one and the only, the always powerful presence of Peggy Lore. Peggy, come on in. How are you?
I'm okay. Ryan Blaney, I feel like if the race wouldn't have been shortened, he could have won. So
I feel like the weekly check-in with producer Peggy is actually just the weekly check-in on how Ryan Blaney did last weekend. She's just always ready with a Blaney update for us. It's good.
That's true. It does feel like it's a matter of soon it'll be like we'll do like a TMZ bulletin if he ever has like relationship issues or anything like that.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. NASCAR page 6. Yeah. Here we come.
NASCAR page 6. That content's coming soon to racingrefresh.com. Be sure to check it out. Any final words, Miss Peggy, before we move it along here and we kick this thing? I don't know if Adam and I have ever done a show, just kind of the two of us for the most part.
Just one.
The great Chase Race-A-Lot. Okay. Well, with that, we'll bring you in here and there, Peggy, and I know you got a lot of things going on as far as producing goes, so we'll bring you in here and there, and don't be afraid to chime in the comments if you ever want to come in and I'm not ready.
If I may, Mr. Logan, I wanted to say, Producer Peggy, I'm not sure if you tuned in last week as I tried to fill your shoes and be the producer, but Chase Race-A-Lot did make a brief appearance just in your honor, so there you go. That's all.
True. I'm so proud.
Yeah, there you go.
That's very, very true. Chase Race-A-Lot did make an appearance, and so the streak lives.
That's right.
All right. Well, you go ahead and tell us what Ryan Blaney's doing in this hour here in a little bit. We'll say bye-bye, ta-ta for now. And maybe we'll bring in for this Atlanta discussion here in a moment. We'll see. All right, Mr. Carabine. It's just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Did you know that?
We're going to try. Just you and me.
You and I. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, what an odd couple it is. All right, it's time for our weekend review. Oh, yeah. I'd love to see. See, now that's what you got to work on, Adam. She's
that's
right.
That's how fast it's supposed to be, hey? That's good.
She's quicker than a New York minute, quicker than a hiccup is the one and only Peggy Lord. I mean, she's just absolutely incredible with her blazing speed. Why are we not talking about happy hour headlines? Simple. I'm pulling up my script. I forgot. luckily. This show is pretty formulaic at this point. So Corey Heim got the dub at a soggy Mid-Ohio. Didn't get a chance to attend this race like I originally wanted to. Some things came up, finances and the whole nine. We have jobs outside of this thing, folks. But if you want to go ahead and support us, we'd appreciate that. And so didn't get a chance to go get soaked in the rain. Would have been nice.
It could have been great, yeah. That's okay.
On the bright side, my socks, they stayed dry. So Corey Heim got his second win at a soggy Mid Ohio. He's in the points lead now. And so some people are wondering, and Adam, inquiry mind lines want to know, and we'll come to you for this. Do you think he's the championship favorite for the trucks?
He's got a sizable lead on the points. I think he was the leader coming into this race as well, but I'm looking at just the points here. His next competition is looking like Zane Smith with 504 to his 558. So, you know, he's got some quick math there, 54 point lead on second place. I mean, I know with the format of the playoffs, you know, you can come in with a million point, you know, advantage over second place, and you could still lose the championship because it really does come down to that last race in Phoenix. But I don't know. Corey Heim is like one of the maybe it's just me. I don't know. You can speak to this too, maybe. But I feel like he's been kind of a quiet leader in the truck series. I feel like when I looked and saw that he was the points leader, I was surprised to see that. I don't know if he's just not as flashy or, you know, I don't know what the reasoning is, but I could certainly see it. I could see him being a, you know, the champion, but I don't know, you know, like someone like Zane Smith, who's been there a few times now, you know, he won it last year, but he came second the year before. You know, he's got some of the experience in those like high pressure situations. So I wonder, you know, and someone like Ben Rhodes only has one win on the season, 477 points. You know, he's been there. Had the best press conference that's ever been in NASCAR.
What a mamma jam it was.
It was. And then you got Grant Enfinger, who's looking, I think that's, fourth place there. Also got two wins on the season. I mean, there's a load of experience there. So I don't know. Is it, maybe I'm just speaking out of my rear end here, but maybe Corey Heim is the quietest points leader of the truck series and quietest favorite for the championship. I don't know. What do you say?
Known to speak out of your rear end on occasion, but we accept you for it. Look, I'm sorry. I'm not going to call him the championship favorite. I think he's having a damn good year. You're right. There is something oddly kind of quiet about he seems to be flying under the radar of how good of a season he's having. But I think you'd be remiss to not call Zane Smith the favorite because he's just been there. You know, there's a different vibe when it comes down to that final weekend in Phoenix. Because one wrong move and your championship hopes are up in smoke, quite literally. And so when you've been there, and Zane Smith has been there, he's a champion. He's made the round of the championship for the last 3 years, something like that. He's a champ. He's been there. He's got the experience. You talk about guys like Ben Rhodes, but Zane Smith is the guy. I mean, Zane Smith is a guy. Here's how good Zane Smith has been in trucks. We're all expecting him to be in the Cup Series next year, not the Xfinity Series.
Now, I was wrong. He actually finished second 2 years in a row coming into last year, and then he won the championship. Right.
He's been a championship for a guy the last 3 years. So you understand that pressure and how much that one weekend means. And again, nothing official yet, folks. This isn't, you know, but the scuttlebutt sure seems to be that Zane Smith is very close to finding his way to the Cup Series next year, whether that be in Ty Gilliland's heat or someplace else like an SHR, we'll see. But the scuttlebutt is that Zane Smith is close. We'll see if that happens. So, and keep in mind, he hasn't done a whole lot with Xfinity at all. So when we're saying he can just go ahead and kind of jump the AAA team, if you will, tells you all the talent we need to know about him. That's my favorite.
He's had a couple of races in the Cup Series this year, and he's not looked completely out of place. You know, he's for someone who hasn't, you know, before this year, hasn't really driven this next gen car. It's coming in. I know the next gen car is supposed to be quote unquote a little easier to drive, but I don't know. We've seen some others come in who just finished last, and that's that, you know. So he hasn't looked completely out of place. Mind you, he's running in Front Row Motorsports, you know, in the number 38, which isn't necessarily the top equipment. But yeah, I don't know. He's looked okay. So I could certainly see it.
No, not to get on a tangent outside of Corey Heim, who again, great season, and he's certainly in very much contention, and I think certainly a lock for the championship four if the season ended today. You know, we'll see what happens down this last few stretches, but he looks like a safe bet, folks. But here's the thing. Here it is. When Zane Smith, when you consider the fact that everybody and their brother knows this guy is – He is the next blue chip prospect by all considerations. Can we agree on that?
I would say so.
If Front Row wants to ever get to the B tier of organizations, because I think A tier is probably unrealistic because those guys on the A tier have an absolute stranglehold on the A tier. But if they ever want to get to that B tier, that you know, maybe RCR and other teams like that sort of place, maybe at this point SHR and RFK as well. You need to lock up a Zane Smith because he seems to be the next blue chip prospect we all think could be the next big somebody. That isn't to say that Todd Gillen isn't having a good season. By all accounts in that card, he is having a good season. But, yeah, I think Zane Smith's your favorite, and I think Zane Smith is going to – if I had to make a prediction today, I think he's your 2023 Craftsman Truck Series champion. We'll see what happens. All right, the Xfinity Series, John Hunter Nemechek scored his – third win of the season. Of course, John Hunter, boy, it's the Front Row hour here on Racing Reverse Happy Hour, because John Hunter has some ties to Front Row as well. Did the 1 year and then took the step back. I do think he's the championship favorite right now in the Xfinity Series. I do. Again, kind of comes down to experience, right? He's got that year of Cup experience. He went down, did the trucks. He's waiting for a better ride to open up. On the Cup level, he is begging for some retirements. Yes, come on, guys. I think he is the Cup Series or the Xfinity Series favorite, pardon me, if for no other reason than there's not a situation at this point that he hasn't been in. You know, he did do the one full year of Cup Series. He did go down to the trucks. He, of course, is the son of NASCAR legend Joe Nemechek, who has forgotten more about racing than most of us will ever know. And so you're born and bred into it, and I think that gives him a serious advantage. And you're in the Gibbs equipment. Oh, you're doing all right. You're doing just fine. Yeah, I think he's the favorite. What say you?
Yeah, I mean he's looking good for sure. It's funny though how we are quick to crown him the favorite compared to what were we just talking about? Corey Heim. Corey Heim's lead is much bigger. John Hunter Nemechek is only up, let me see, quick math here, 16 points on Austin Hill. And, you know, they both have 3 wins on the season. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is he as much a favorite? Maybe he shouldn't be based on just where his point position is. But for whatever reason, as we're talking about Corey Heim not being as flashy, yeah, I would, you know, if you had put a blindfold on me and before I looked at these standings and just said, who's your favorite in the Xfinity Series, then, you know, great. So I would have gone with Nemechek for sure. Austin Hill's had a great year. Cole Custer's kind of making a push lately. You know, 2 wins in the last little while, although one of them was that rain-shortened Chicago race that was, you know, pretty short. And then, yeah, you've got Justin Allgaier always in the mix there too, but he's only got 1 year and somewhat of a down year for Junior Motorsports. So I don't know. Yeah, I guess when you look at the rest of the competition, you know, John Hunter Nemechek might be the guy. But again, comes down to one race at Phoenix and anything can happen.
Yeah, it is. It is so tough to quantify all this because the system is that one race at Phoenix. By the way, we have a comment from Michaela who says, "Hey, Adam. Hey, Adam." So let me.
Hello, Michaela. Thanks for tuning in. Wow.
We appreciate it. Jesse Walker says Phoenix is a big one. You're not kidding, brother. It is short of the Daytona 500. They don't get much bigger. I mean, Phoenix is the way it goes.
Thanks for the comments, guys. I appreciate it.
we got the Adam Carabine fan club.
Apparently, yeah. I would say these people are not traditionally NASCAR fans, but they're tuning in. We're going to convert them, I think.
By God, by the time they get through watching Racing Refresh Happy Hour starring Adam Carabine, they're going to be the biggest NASCAR fans you ever daggum saw.
I would say it's more starring Loganity featuring Adam. So, yeah. But you know.
You run this thing. Okay. Yeah, I personally. I do. I like John Hunter. He's got the pedigree. He's got the resume. And yeah, I know the points lead is much bigger for Corey Heim. But again, you almost throw that out to some extent because it comes down to the one race. And that's so nerve wracking, but it's those game seven moments, right? And game seven moments are always special. Speaking of special, Cup Series time. William Byron won the rain shortened race, the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. That was the sponsor this week. That's the way it was put.
I love some of those good names. Some of those, my favorite, I think, might be the Beef It's What's for Dinner 300 or whatever.
Yeah, that's usually the day. That's a good one. But. That's usually the Daytona Xfinity race. Yeah, I hope like they that. Come back next year. So William Byron won a rain shortened race and. Before we talk about is he the favorite, let's talk about the controversy that has engulfed NASCAR social media. I mean, it's engulfed NASCAR social media. People were up in arms. They were throwing babies in the air for when the green flag dropped. It became apparent pretty quickly that rain was going to be a factor. Now, who knows? I personally truly am not quite as much as I might play up on this show, but truly I do believe there's something to the vortex theory because many times there's been all rain's coming and it didn't happen. Now
I was going to say, you know, Colin picked a bad week to not be here. Cause he could have taken the dub on the vortex theory this week.
No, it's not a dub. Think about it. Think Adam, easy pal. The vortex theory was proven to be correct. When did the rain come? When we stopped running fast? There you go.
I'm keeping out of the vortex theory thing. I'm supposed to say Switzerland in this one.
So
I'm saying Canada. But.
but nonetheless. All right. Plus, if you get halfway, you won. All right. That's it. That's what we're guaranteed, really. Even though no one likes to hear that. That's what we're guaranteed halfway. No one likes to hear that. That's true. But NASCAR fans are up in arms. Some of them are threatening to stop watching the sport even because they don't like that NASCAR did do about what felt like 14 to 15 laps under caution before the rain did open up. I'll start here and then get your thoughts, Adam. I think I would understand people's complaint more if we hadn't just in the last year tried running in some sprinkles and light rain and it didn't go horribly wrong. We tried Daytona. It was crash 'em up derby. We of course know Loudon, New Hampshire last year ruined a lot of good days early. We remember Kyle Busch showing the most restraint I've ever seen him show when he was visibly upset and probably rightfully so at NASCAR. So had we not done those things and we hadn't had the track record of this may not go well, I would understand people's gripe. We also have Daytona several years back where they inadvertently essentially handed Justin Haley a win and took it away from Kurt Busch. Now, I say inadvertently because that's what it was. No one was trying to rig it. It's the way it shook out. Because people don't understand, in my view, and this goes for all the sports, but certainly NASCAR. These are judgment calls made by human beings. Therefore, our opinion, my opinion might be different than your opinion, Adam. Our opinion might be different than the guy that's making the call at the track. It is a judgment call. There is no technical right or wrong answer. But when you have all that history, when you have all that precedent set of we essentially accidentally handed Justin Haley a win, and hey, a win's a win, whatever, but it did happen. We essentially screwed the pooch at Daytona last summer. We essentially screwed the pooch at Loudon. When you have all that, and frankly, you could throw in Coda for that matter. So when you have all that precedent, I can understand why they wanted to err on the extreme side of caution. Could they have done the green and got 10 more laps? Yeah. But do you want, in my view, people, the skies to all of a sudden open up and then all of a sudden turn threes damp? We're not running wet tires here. We're not running that. And so guess what happens? Daytona or Loudon. Guess what that isn't? Good for the sport. And frankly, good for anyone's safety. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a joke. Plus, folks, and then I'm going to kick it to you, Adam. The halfway rule is there for a reason. We are guaranteed to see halfway, then it becomes official. That's why the rule is there. Now, I said last week on this show, I didn't like they called Chicago early because the rule says we get halfway. I don't care if they were two laps short. That's two laps. The paying customer, both on TV and especially at the track, is guaranteed to see. And for all the money you spend, I think you should see it. That's my belief. But we are guaranteed to see halfway. So I want your thought. Hi, Peggy.
We've got producer Peggy popping in here. What's going on?
I have a thought.
Okay.
I think every single person who's saying NASCAR's wrong for calling this race early is a hypocrite, because they're the same people that when they're too late to throw a caution, a few seconds late to throw a caution, they're, oh, NASCAR doesn't care about safety. NASCAR doesn't do this. NASCAR's wrong. NASCAR doesn't care about drivers. NASCAR's in it to make big commercials and show all the wrecks. Yet here NASCAR is preventing wrecks because rain's coming. And now the same people are crying and whining and threatening to not watch NASCAR anymore after however many years. I think you're all big hypocrites, and you all are babies, and you all need to get over yourselves, because NASCAR doesn't care if you watch anymore. You're not that important.
Well, drop
the mic. That's about all I did. Adam, you want to try to follow that? Go ahead.
I never want to try and follow that. I can't disagree with both of you, you know? I would imagine, you know, if you're threatening after that race to decide not to watch ever again, then okay, great. We don't need you. That's fine. You can go on your merry way and we don't need to hear from you anymore. The race was great leading up to that, and you've got to make concessions for rain. You know, do I wish that we could have some sort of, like, you know, giant dome that we could race in that's covered and we don't have to ever worry about rain? Yeah, that'd be great. But
unrealistic,
and safety's got to come first. NASCAR is consistently in a position where no matter what decision they make, someone's going to be upset with it. If they, you know, if they don't throw the caution and run those caution laps and then call the race, maybe someone spins and it ruins their day. Maybe, you know, William Byron, who's in the lead, maybe at that time spins out because of rain and ends up not winning, and someone there is pissed off about it too. So there's just never any winning. It's so easy to look back with hindsight and say, oh, NASCAR should have done this. It doesn't matter. You know, they make the judgment call, like you said, Logan. They make the judgment call in the moment, and they don't have a lot of time to, you know, figure out every single angle. They make the best call they can in the moment. I do not buy that it's rigged, that they see William Byron's leading and they decide, oh, we're going to throw it now because we like Hendrick Motorsports or whatever. Otherwise, we wouldn't see things like Justin Haley win, you know, like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think about the absurdity of his comments. What In what world does NASCAR make more money when Hendrick wins? No, not to my knowledge.
I doubt it. Yeah.
Why would they care? Well, you know, frankly, if they were going to try to rig it, I'd be trying to rig it for a team that isn't Hendrick Motorsports, because you want the headline of, oh my God, I don't know, Live Fast won.
Yeah.
You know, I think those are absurd theories. That I don't even want to call them conspiracy theories, because it's not a, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory, because a conspiracy theory at least tends to be some sort of thought out. These are things that people just get pissed off and say.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a theory.
I don't know. I'd like to see them stay away then. Let's, you know, I don't want to see you talking about the race next week if you said I'm never watching again because of this. And it's not like it was a real snoozer of a race leading up to it. It was a great race.
It was one of the best races. This or Kansas was has been the best race of the year in my view. You can make an argument for either one.
Yeah, I agree.
Any other thoughts, Peggy?
The same whiny people who complained that there was no safer barrier where Ryan Blaney hit a couple weeks ago are the same people who are complaining they stopped the race early for rain. And I don't want to hear, oh, well, they ran 10 laps under caution. Like, so then they just start the race early and it starts raining while they're going over 100 miles an hour. Like, they need to have time. Mm-hmm. Like, the complaints make no sense.
It's super easy to make those calls after the fact. After you know exactly what time the rain comes, it's easy to say, well, we should have run right up until that point and then call the caution right before the rain hit. There's just no way to know that. There's no way.
Also, I think people don't factor in, you know, because a lot of people that were there are saying it wasn't raining when they said it was raining. A mile and a half is not a small amount of distance, folks. It can be raining in one turn and not in the other. It happens all the time at Daytona and Talladega, and we don't think anything of it. And I'm not trying to put down the people that were upset. I'm really not. Like, I respect they were upset.
Well, of course, I'm upset that we didn't get to see more of that racing. Like, the racing was great, and I would have loved to see it go the full distance, but you can't have it both ways.
Like, I respect the fact they were upset and feel like they got gypped. Even if I don't agree with them at all, I get that you're upset, but but these are the same. Yeah, I think Peggy hit it right on the head. These are the same people that say, well, safety is paramount and the most important thing. And then, oh, we feel like we should have ran right until the skies opened up. And then, which would have, people don't understand, and I don't mean to generalize. I'm sure some fans do. I'm sure a majority of fans do. So I apologize if I'm coming up like I'm generalizing. But there's a section of fans I don't think that quite understand how dangerous the new Atlanta can be. You're running now kind of in the ballpark of Talladega Daytona speeds with none of the room to, you know, I can hit the brake before I take this big hit to the wall, because Daytona and Talladega especially are massive. Atlanta hasn't changed size-wise. Mm-hmm. So if we wreck at a high speed into the wall, there's a danger there. And we all know you can learn it just by playing NASCAR Heat 5 like we do every Friday night. When you get the draft, and that's what this track is now, you get what? More speed. That's why it's the great equalizer. And so there is a danger to it. If you all of a sudden in turn 3 or 4 – we're getting soaked and we're running it at 170. This could become a crucial issue for someone's safety.
Saying on the broadcast, this is one of the few tracks where, you know, you're not slowing down in the corners. Yeah. You're going the same speed on the straightaways as you are in the corners. So yeah,
it is
dangerous.
It is wide open all the time. And it was fun to see. I love this new Atlanta. I love it. I hope it's on the track. This, because the racing is so great, I know it doesn't have the historic pedigree of a Daytona or Talladega, but because the racing is so great, this should have, in my view, 2 dates. And frankly, because the racing is so great, I would go back to one of those dates being 500 miles.
Yeah.
Because Atlanta used to be 500 miles like clockwork, at least one of the races were. Right. Now they're both 400. The racing is so great, I'd go back to 500 for one date and keep two of them. That's just my view. Let us know what your views are in the comments. We want to be clear here before we move on. Even if we vehemently disagree with you, we're fine if you share your opinion, and we can tell you that we disagree or agree by all means. Yep. So don't be shy if you, for whatever reason, disagree with us. Let us have it. We'll tell you that you could be right or wrong. All right. So Formula One, Max Verstappen got another win at Silverstone. That pretty much marks it down. You know, it's another Sunday drive. McLaren had some major positive updates to the cars. They both finished in the top four. Any thoughts on that, Adam, before we move it along?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have our open wheel guru here, the best man, Mr. Colin Best, to break it all down. But, yeah, certainly some really positive changes for McLaren. You've got a driver like Oscar Piastri, who I don't know if I'm even saying that right, but yeah, he was near the bottom of the standings and he finished fourth. So obviously, you know, that's a big win. I think he had 2 points coming into the race for the entire season. Now, mind you, if you're outside of the top 10, you don't get any points in Formula One, but yeah, 2 points is pretty down there. And now he's up to 17 after a fourth place finish. So congrats to them figuring something out. Is it enough to dethrone Red Bull? No, I don't think so. And what can you do?
I doubt Colin thinks so either.
I don't think anyone thinks so. I mean, honestly, I think at this point, you know, if you were to bet on Max Verstappen in Vegas, I think they would just say, you know, the odds are negative or something. I don't even know.
Like, give us some money. Yeah. You're not getting any back.
So. Yeah, exactly. So we probably win more money to bet on him.
I made 50 cents.
Yeah. So, I know Colin was excited for Silverstone. One thing I thought that was interesting, I didn't realize this, was that Brad Pitt was there and he's filming a movie about Formula One or having to do with Formula One. And he was on the track at certain points during the race. Now, as a newer NASCAR fan, I know they've done that before for like Days of Thunder and maybe Talladega Nights too. I've never seen it. Is that fair? Does that throw things into a weird state when you've got like a random Brad Pitt on the track? Or I don't know. I guess the track's big enough in Formula One that it maybe doesn't make a huge difference, but
yeah, I think the track's big enough that it doesn't matter. I don't personally like it because you just never know what can go wrong. And I know that the idea of it going wrong is so minimal, it's almost nothing, but that's the key word, it's almost nothing. Just like it's almost no chance Ryan Blaney hits the one part that's got no safer barrier.
It's the same as like, you know, when someone loses a tire on pit road, but no one's actually coming down pit road, they'll still throw a caution just to go retrieve that tire.
I don't like it. Like I said, I think what you should do is do it at a practice session. Mm-hmm. And as someone that has gone to media school with the right amount of people at a practice session, you can creatively edit and cut and make it look just fine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not more work for you. It is. I've done my fair share of editing, or I shouldn't say editing, tries at editing. and it's not easy, but obviously that's why they get paid the big bucks. All right. Quick yes or no. Is William Byron your championship favorite, Adam?
No.
I'm going to also say no. All right.
I think he's my favorite, or like he's a favorite to make the top four, but.
I think you could throw a blanket on Truex, Busch, Byron. I really do. I think you could throw a blanket on them.
Yeah.
Because the consistency they've all shown is incredible. And really, if you want to get technical, Hendrick had been in a bit of a slide by their standards until this Rain Shorten win. Anywho, we got to keep moving along. So right now it's time for our happy hour headlines. See what we did? We bragged her up one good time.
Well,
and she was slow on the draw. She did the best Adam Caravine impression. All right. So
I got panicked for a minute. I was having flashbacks to last week thinking, oh no, I should be pushing this, but that's okay.
I was like,
you got lots of headlines this week. Let's, you know,
turns up. We got to break it down.
Let's get her
at a pretty good pace. Anheuser-Busch is going to Ross Chastain. They, of course, have sponsored Harvick for eons now, I believe. What the last? I mean,
I don't know
how many
years,
decade plus. Yeah, they've done eight out of like they've done eight full sponsors this year for him, and of course they're always an associate. So Ross Chastain gets Anheuser-Busch, and you can't overstate how big that is.
That's huge.
Look, I know. I'm gonna go ahead and I know a lot of people that are in the NASCAR community are upset at Anheuser-Busch these days. Fine, whatever. I'm not in. We're not having that discussion on this show. But you can't overstate how big it is that one of the primary sponsors, not only of Stuart Haas, but of the sport, they're one of the four premier partners, that they leave a rival in Stuart Haas and go to Trackhouse. What a huge win for Trackhouse Racing. What a huge win for Trackhouse Racing. I don't think you can overstate it because, look, talent is great. Talent should be everything in this sport. It should be. But frankly, it isn't. Sponsorship is money, dollars. And say what you want about Anheuser-Busch. And like I said, I get that a lot of the NASCAR community isn't thrilled with them right now, and you're entitled to your opinion. But we know one thing. They're going to throw a lot of money at who they support because they've thrown a lot of money at Kevin Harvick and SHR over the years. So this is huge. This is absolutely huge. I want your thoughts, and then I want here's a hot take for you. The downfall of SHR continues.
I knew that's where you were going.
Primary sponsor, they're a big guy. If Logan leaves and Smith Hill leaves, what do they have?
Logan's been on the SHR hate train for a little while now.
On the hate train.
I know. I'm just kidding. But you know what?
I'm literally the guy in the Titanic that is seeing the iceberg, and nobody's turning this son of a biscuit eating bulldog.
I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to touch on this Bush, business. First of all, slightly missed opportunity to not sponsor Kyle Busch. I feel like that's a slam dunk. And then, Ross Chastain will still be there after Kyle Busch retires. So you could probably go to him after if you really wanted, but jokes aside, I think this is big for both of them. Honestly, I think obviously it's huge for Ross Chastain and the number one team with Trackhouse. Because, more funding means faster cars. And Ross Chastain has proven that he's got some talent already. So if you mix the two together, I think that's a winning combo for sure. But also, Ross Chastain is a guy who's making headlines all the time. And, he's a factor in races, whether it's good or bad. I don't know if Busch Beer cares, but their car, their logo on that car is going to be on TV a whole heck of a lot. And, in the last 18 months with Kevin Harvick hasn't been as much, there hasn't been as much TV play because he hasn't always been as, dominant as he was in his earlier years. So I think it's a great get for both Chastain and for Busch Beer.
Yeah. Cause if there's one thing about old Ross Chastain, it's he's going to get some headlines.
Absolutely.
Hook or crook, boys, hook or crook. He's going to get some headlines. So I do. I think it's a big get. I would be, I'm sure that Stuart Haas did everything in their power to keep him. And I'm sure they did. Big win for Trackhouse. Trackhouse is coming to play, folks. Trackhouse is coming to play. Seriously. They're making major moves on the regular. I think you're going to get to a point in not the too distant future where they're a three car team full time. I don't know if that's next year, but wouldn't be stunned if by 2025 they're looking for another charter. We'll see what happens, but Trackhouse is coming to play. Ross Chastain's coming to play. Daniel Suarez got a second place finish this week. Say what you want due to the rain. Second place is second place. So that means They're one spot away from three straight wins.
Seriously.
That's usually something only lately Hendrick and maybe Penske's even thought about. How long
has Trackhouse been around? Like what, 2 years now? Is that it? Like
they're the great grandson of DEI.
For a fairly new startup team, I recognize there's some carryover from the Chip Ganassi days, but that's very impressive.
And that's something else to keep in mind, folks. Is this wasn't like a merger where Chip Ganassi stays involved with most of his people. There were some carryover, but there was not. It was pretty minimal to our knowledge, especially if you listen to Chip Ganassi on Dell Jr. Download. It was pretty minimal carryover. I mean, they're pretty much a brand new organization because, like I said, anytime a merger happens, it is a brand new organization, but you can merge it together as one and pretty much have all the same resources in the jump. So yeah, they're doing incredible things in a very short amount of time, all things considered. They're what everybody's hoping to catch up to. All kidding aside, they're what Legacy Motor Club is trying to be. They're mm-hmm. trying to make those moves to get there. And right now, Trackhouse is lapping the field in that regard. So we'll see what happens. But what a move for them. Daniel Ricciardo returns to F1. I'm not even going to try to say that, Adam. Replaces who? What?
Huh? He replaces Nick DeVries or DeVries. I'm not sure. Right. But
that's what you
Yeah, mean. I mean, this was huge news. People always kind of, I think, knew Daniel Ricciardo was coming back to F1. But I think the general consensus was that it would be next year. And that, you know, someone was going to move out and he was going to move on in. For those that maybe aren't following F1 as closely, there are only 20 spots. You know, only 20 jobs available for drivers in Formula One. And so it's a little more competitive than NASCAR in that sense. But yeah, Nick DeVries, I'm not sure. He's been driving for Red Bull's kind of secondary team called AlphaTauri. And how many races are they in now? 11 races in, and he has 0 points, along with Logan Sargeant, the American driver for Williams. But
making all of us Logans look bad.
Yeah, I know, right?
Usually it's me and Logan Paul that's got the copyright on that deal. So
Daniel Ricciardo has become kind of, I think, in North America, one of the faces of Formula One. So it's kind of crazy that he didn't have a ride this year at the start of the year. But I think just from that Drive to Survive series on Netflix, I think he became quite famous amongst those who maybe don't follow regularly. So it should be interesting to see him back. He's not in the top tier Red Bull equipment, but it'd be interesting to see if he can salvage what is currently a 20th place car. So yeah, very interesting.
Well, let's hope that he can. And I know that you and Colin will keep us up to date on that. Corey LaJoy is looking to re-sign with Spire Motorsports. Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic, reported this week that they're getting pretty close to a multi-year extension. Props to Corey LaJoy for showing incredible loyalty to an up-and-coming team. You know,
do you give him props on that? I mean, maybe I'm hot taking here, but I think it's a bad move. But I'll let you go first, and then I actually
agree with you. I admire the loyalty. Truly, I do. There's been moments, and you know, there's no need for me to devolve into it right now, but there's been drivers, obviously, that I wish would have stayed someplace or thought they should have stayed someplace, and they didn't. And they have every right to make the decision that's best for them, obviously. But still, I certainly, and I'm not just talking about Bubba Wallace for that matter, there's been several times in the sport I go, boy, you really, I mean, let's be honest, Joe Gibbs didn't show a whole lot of love to Matt Kenseth. They booted him out for Eric Jones, for obvious reasons, right? But you booted out a Hall of Famer when he could still compete. He won a second last race with Joe Gibbs Racing. I think there's not enough loyalty in the sport. I know some people say loyalty costs you money, but I don't really agree with that. I think you can make plenty and earn plenty being loyal. But I actually agree with you on this. I agree that for his career, on paper, I think it's a bad call. I'm not saying maybe one more year at Spire wouldn't be the end of the world, but at some point, some of these older drivers are going to retire. I mean, Eric Almirola, this very well could be his last season. We don't know that. He doesn't know that. He's made that clear. Sounds like kind of a 50-50 thing.
I mean, you know, even if he's back next year, he's not coming back the year after. Like, that 10's going to be open.
And so at some point, by 25, that seat's open unless something stunning happens. And I guess you never say never, because I didn't think he'd come back for another year after he done said he was retired. But, and this sport has a history of that, Mark Martin comes to mind. So you never say never, but unless something stunning happens, that seat is open by 2025. Martin Truex is in the twilight of his career, by his own admission. So how much longer does he drive? I feel like he'll be back next year, but beyond that, and we don't know that he'll be back next year, but that all indications seem to be. Denny Hamlin is still not signed an extension with Joe Gibbs Racing. I know that Adam Stern a few weeks ago, maybe a month now, reported that things were kind of lining up in the right direction, but still, pen to paper has not been signed, and we are closing in on playoff time.
Well, you got to imagine that the ultimate goal for him is probably to drive for 2311. No, like be his own boss.
A lot of people say he has no interest in that. I don't know if it's true.
I don't believe that.
If I owned a race team, I'd like to drive for said race team. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, and yeah, I know they're pretty close in resources. They are tight 10 twisters is Joe Gibbs Racing and 2311, but still there's a conflict of interest to some extent always, because Denny Hamlin is not going to drive forever. What's he got? Let's go on the high end. 5 years? 5 years?
Yeah, that's pushing it, maybe. I think. I don't know. Yeah. High end. Especially if he doesn't win anymore.
But hey, I don't know what the man's. So let's say 5 years. No matter what, what do you want to be better? Joe Gibbs Racing or 2311? The longer you're at Joe Gibbs Racing, the more you're helping Joe Gibbs Racing be better, in my view.
Well, and from Joe Gibbs' perspective, the longer you're given top info to a rival in 2311, you know, like,
and let's
give that info to your driver.
I guess this was never confirmed, so let's not forget the substantial belief that he pretty much made it to where Furniture Row is not going to last too much longer at this particular rate, because. Well, I mean, competition is an unfair business. Let's be cool about that too. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I understand totally what you're saying in terms of why it might be a bad look. I respect the loyalty that he's showing.
I less respect it. I think I don't know if I care about that as much, and maybe that's just because I haven't been around as long as a fan and I haven't seen it. But I think you got to do what's best for you. And Corey LaJoie just got a look in the 9 car driving, for the suspended Chase Elliott. Like that, you know, people are noticing him and saying, you know, maybe this guy is a good driver. He didn't have the greatest showing in a one-off race, and we talked about it then. I don't think that was a make or break moment necessarily, unless he won the race. But I don't think a bad showing like discounts him, and everyone goes, oh, well, maybe we're wrong about him. Maybe he isn't very good after all. But he's like built this brand around being an underfunded guy. And it's like he doesn't know any better than that. And I don't know. I feel like there are some other opportunities out there that would be some better equipment. And I don't know.
I think multi-year deal,
that's tough. I could be wrong. And,
I think those are good points. The only thing I'll follow up on that, because we've got to get moving along,
yeah,
is this. Number one, contracts in NASCAR can be easily broken. Number two, people that say, well, he didn't kind of live up at Hendrick. You could do a lot worse than 21st. I mean, we see it every week. All right. So good year.
For some teams, that'd be a win. You know, that's as good as a win.
There's a few teams out there that, yeah, hey, we're almost cracking the top 20. Let's go. Yeah. Goodyear did a tire test at Texas. Logano, Hamlin, Suarez took part. The big question here is there's hope for the track. I'm going to try to keep it quick. Yeah, I think so. And even if there's not, like, I think it's too important of a market to take entirely off the schedule. I really do. I think it's too important of a market to take entirely off the schedule, because I don't think Austin at COTA cuts it. I think you need, because Texas is a mammoth state, right? Everything's bigger than Texas. That's the slogan. That's the Lone Star State. We have to have this track on the schedule one time. Wouldn't you agree, Adam?
I would agree. I think it's promising. You know, I don't know if the tire test is really going to change anything in the short term, but I think it's promising. I think it looks like NASCAR recognizes that racing at Texas has not been the most exciting lately, and they're looking at ways to try and make it better, you know? So I can't fault them for that. I'm sure there will be people who complain if the race is boring, and they'll say, oh, this tire test was a waste of time or whatever. But I say, you know, you got to keep trying new things. So I'm good with that. And I would say Texas deserves a chance. So
yeah, people got to remember it's an important market. And that does drive things in the sport. It's an important market. It needs to be on the schedule, in my view. Marco Andretti is not ready to rule out full-time NASCAR. We heard Colin Best theory last week.
Yeah,
Andretti as a whole, as a business, is about to get in NASCAR. And frankly, when you add up the tea leaves, and now maybe our conspiracy hats are popping on, but there's a there's reason to believe that might be accurate. What say you?
Yeah, I think there's some smoke there. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I don't mean Tony Stewart.
That's what I've always heard.
I think, I don't know. Yeah. It could just be that he had a great time running the truck race. It was his first truck race this past weekend at Mid-Ohio. Enjoyed it a lot and said, you know, I could be back to do more of that. Mm-hmm. I would enjoy that. But I don't know. Yeah. Only time will tell.
I think Cullen may be on something now. Yeah. We get into the age-old question under the current system, and I know they're under negotiation right now, so we'll see what happens with the system, but we have to play with it as it is. We're running out of charters, folks. We're running out of charters. I don't know where you're going to get all of them.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. There's
36 of those bad boys. Now, are there a couple teams that I think could or should give up one? Yeah. But I'm not a money man. If they got the charter, they want to keep running, more power to them.
Well, you know what? I don't hate the charter system, but, like, you know, if there's more people wanting charters, then let's make a few more charters. You can expand the field back up to 43 and have 40 charters, for example,
That's a good number. look, I agree. I think that more people wanting a NASCAR is a great thing. I think it's sad that we have traditionally only 36 cars when the full field is supposed to be 40. Like, I think it should be 40 or closer to that ballpark when we only get 40 at Daytona. And I mean, Daytona 500, they don't even do it again. I don't think they do it again the rest of the year. We have a couple pop in here and there, the Project 91 car and now Jimmy Johnson, but that's about as far as it gets. So even on the best week, we're two spots short.
Yeah.
I think that
Coda was 39, but yeah, that's yeah.
And yet that's still
certainly more the exception than the rule.
Yeah.
And if there's people willing to run it, I mean, I know when they moved to the next gen car, the idea was that it was going to bring costs overall down a little bit. And so, you know, maybe that's part of the long-term plan still, but
I think it will long-term, but you're still so early. I think that you're spending on the front half and that way you save on the back half, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think in another year or two, I think it does even out and we go, boy, it does cost. But all can decide you're going to pay more right now, or at least that first year anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's brand new, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. It's all we can do. Hall of Fame nominees were announced. Do you want to run some of those down, Mr. Carabine?
Yeah, sure. I've got the lists here. Watch me butcher some of these names because I'm, you know, stupid. They've got the Modern Era ballot. They've got the Pioneer ballot, and then they've got the Landmark Award. Excuse me. So this is not necessarily all people who are going to get into the Hall of Fame this time. It's just like the short list, I guess, right? So your Modern Era ballot, you've got Neil Bonnett. He's an 18-time winner in the NASCAR Cup Series. Tim Brewer, who is a Cup Series champion crew chief two times. Jeff Burton, obviously we know Jeff Burton. He's won 21 races, including Southern 500 and two Coke 600s.
The mayor!
Yeah, you've got Carl Edwards, 28 wins in the Cup Series, and he has an Xfinity Championship. Harry Gant, won 18 races in the Cup Series, including two Southern 500s. Harry Hyde, he was a crew chief for 1970 Cup Series Championship. Can you still call that the Modern Era? I don't know. And then Larry Phillips. He's the first five-time NASCAR Weekly Series national champion. Ricky Rudd won 23 times in the Cup Series. And then the clear two here, you got Jimmy Johnson, obviously old seven-time, and his crew chief, Chad Knaus, is on that list as well.
Yeah, those two are getting in. Everybody else might be a question mark. I'm a believer that old cousin Concrete Carl should get in. I've said that for several years now in several incarnations of this show, because numbers wise, his resume isn't that different from Dale Jr.'s.
Yeah.
Now I know that Dale Jr. is an incredible ambassador of this sport. He's had some bigger success at the more noteworthy tracks like Daytona, but look at the numbers, and Adam, I think you'd be surprised to see how close they are Cup Series wise.
I have looked at them. Yeah, I don't have them in front of me right now, but yes, for sure.
And so,
only two of those names are going to get in this year, because that's the entire modern era ballot.
So I just personally think that old cousin Concrete Carl should get in. Of course, Seven Time's going to get in and check it out, and they deserve it. I do believe, and I've said this for years, that they nominate these guys a little too soon. I'd like to see a couple more years. Yeah. 5 is the standard for other sports, because sometimes it feels like more marketing gimmick than Hall of Fame. It feels like, let's sell the t-shirts. And that's cool if this is the WWE, but this ain't the WWE. This is a traditional non-choreographed sport. And so I would like to see a little more wait time in between retirement and,
I mean, there's no way Jimmy Johnson doesn't get in. Like, him being a first ballot Hall of Famer, you have to. But then how do you put him in and not put Chad Knaus in at the same time?
Right.
So those might just be your two right there. But
and again, it's not a matter of they don't deserve it. I want that to be clear. They absolutely do. Sure. I mean, Jimmy Johnson might be the greatest to ever do it. But I just think we should wait a little longer. I mean, honestly, I think there should be kind of a – Jimmy, you're still driving on a part-time basis, so that should kind of mess with your eligibility. Now, it's different if you get an offer or decide to do something after you're in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that should completely stop you either. But if you're not in it, then I think it should kind of delay things, because we know that Jimmy, I believe he's going to run at least one more race this year, maybe two. Yeah. We know he's running next year for Toyota. We learned that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I just think we could go ahead and wait. Yes, Jimmy Johnson has to be a first ballot. My argument is it doesn't need to be this ballot.
Agreed.
That's where I'm at on it. All right, we gotta bring it home. We have to bring it home, and so it's time for our weekend preview. Oh yeah, looky there. We're in New Hampshire this weekend, Adam Carabine. I don't know if you've seen the forecast.
Have I seen the forecast? No, I haven't. Is it looking bad again?
Sunday ain't looking good.
Damn.
I don't claim to be a meteorologist here, folks. What I do when I'm looking for weather is this. I Google the track into Google, and I type weather. You know, New Hampshire Motor Speedway weather, right? And it gives you a pretty good, decent idea. Currently an 80% chance of rain.
Right.
At Loudon.
It's only Wednesday. You know, we've seen some bad forecasts that have changed, you know, by the time Sunday rolls around, but fingers crossed, it's tough.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm not going to be able to catch the racing this weekend. So I'm kind of hoping.
I know. And I've been so busy. This is my first weekend in a while that I would be able to watch live. And now it's going to, of course, it's going to ruin it. So
that sounds like an issue, not an issue me, my dear friend. Where did I learn that from?
I know. Didn't I teach you that?
You did. So NHRA is at Thunder Mountain this weekend.
That's Bandimere Speedway in Colorado. Yep.
Yeah.
They've had the last week and so week 2 weeks off. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they'll be back in Colorado.
I heard from the founder that he's going to be traveling over the next 21 days.
Whew.
That's a busy, busy cat right there.
No kidding.
That's a busy, busy cat right there. All right.
And we've also got IndyCar. IndyCar is going into my country. Welcome, IndyCar. The streets of Toronto, the worst city in Canada. Hot take. There you go.
And SRX kicks off this weekend.
What's that?
SRX kicks off this weekend.
That's correct. Yes, it sure does. So it's certainly, you know, no shortage of racing this weekend, but
I believe old Ryan Newman is doing the full season. That's kind of who I'm rooting for. To get the championship at, you know, it's just a 6-race season, but still.
I know. Yeah. I'm going to have to, I didn't get into SRX last year. I'm going to have to check it out again.
Well, this Thursday night on ESPN, the old Espen might be, you know what I'm talking about. They used to be the worldwide leader in sports.
Used to be.
Yeah.
We've got TSN up here in Canada. That's about it. So
I'll text you Thursday and make sure you're on the call. You busy Thursday night?
Maybe not anymore. Let's see.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
Okay.
All right. We're getting close to home, so that means it's time for our racing refresh picks.
It certainly is. Look at that beautiful graphic. Very nice. It's always a great day in Racing Refresh Picks when I can announce that I have won the week. I picked lovely Ryan Blaney in honor of producer Peggy not being here. He finished P9, and that was enough for the win. So,
yeah. Look, folks, you can tell that Adam Carabine is a good, humble boy. Everything he steals, he brings home to his mother.
There we go. Now, here's the thing. Today, we don't have Colin Best. I have reached out to him and told him to send me his picks, and he has not done so. He should be picking second, but I think he is relinquishing his second pick. He's going to go fourth this week because he hasn't given me the picks in time. So, coming in last. Yes, producer Peggy's got to come in here. I'm sorry, I should have said that. Coming in last this week was Logan with his Gregson pick, unfortunately, 33rd. So that means you get to pick first.
I mean, that's just really disappointing. That's really disappointing. Let's go Austin Dillon.
Austin Dillon. All right.
Austin Dillon. He, it seems like he's about due to do one of those weird win things where he wins one every year and a half.
Doesn't he wait till the Daytona race just to completely screw up the entire playoff?
Remember that one year in Texas all random?
That's true. Yeah, I know. He does have it. He's got something in there every once in a while.
Yeah, he's due for a random one, and I think this could be the – let's go Austin Dillon.
Okay. Producer Peggy, who you got this week?
Have I picked Brad Kay yet?
You have not.
I'll take him.
Okay.
I think Brad Kay is going to get a lobster.
Keselowski. And I am going to pick – part of me wants to pick Denny Hamlin because isn't he the one that's afraid of the lobster? He doesn't like to touch it. I just think that's funny. But no, I am going to take Daniel Suarez.
Hey, coming off a second place finish, maybe the momentum is
a little momentum. And we'll have to get back to you on Colin's pick for next week. But
all right,
yeah, there you go, there you have it.
Well, don't call him. He might be late for this, but he's never late for dinner. And so, with that lovely dad joke, let's bring it home to closing time. All right, folks, another great episode of Racing Refresh Happy Hour is winding down. Fun fact of odd fears: professional wrestler The Undertaker is kind of afraid of cucumbers.
Really?
Yeah. He has some sort of weird thing. I don't think it's like deathly afraid, but he has an odd phobia a little bit about cucumbers. You know, given that big, dark, scary guy, that's kind of weird, but there you go. Yeah.
Well, if you encounter him in a dark alleyway, just pull out the old cucumbers.
I just went to the produce section. stared down a shark the other day. Yeah, that went viral. You know, he and his wife were vacationing on the beach.
Really?
And a shark came up, and he stared it down, and it went the other direction. Went viral, because that's a bad mamma jamma right there. Adam Carabine, any final words?
I was going to just tell you a quick story. I know we're running short on time. I was driving to work today, and the car in front of me had their front left wheel come off, and it rolled down the street and hit someone else's car and their bumper. And I thought, man, that guy's crew chief is going on vacation. I have not seen that in real life. I thought, you know, maybe it was just a loose lug nut or something. I don't know. But no, that's about it for me. Great show, guys. Thanks again. And yes, after a brief hiatus, because I was ridiculously busy, the playoff forecast is returning. Well, it did return last week, and it will continue to return and be there until the end of the season. So if you want to check out what my weird computer, you know, AI or something, I don't know, it's not AI, but
what's it saying about the Legacy Motor Club cars?
I don't think you want to know. I don't think, you know, we'll worry about that later. We'll talk about that offline because it's a family show. So,
okay. All right.
Anyways, until next week, thanks for tuning in, guys. Producer Peggy, what do you got for us? Oh. Wow.
Thank you for final words.
I don't know if I have any after
It makes people speechless, Logan. Is that Logan or is that Elton John?
Elton John finally played his final show.
He sure did. All right.
Say final, but you just never know because you've seen so many farewell tours not be farewell tours.
It's true.
You know, I think it's Elton's probably last tour. I'll bet he plays another show or two for big money. I think he's even open
on his final tour last April. Like, not this April, but last April. And it was still the final tour.
Well, it takes a long time to get to every single city, you know.
Plus, it was delayed due to COVID, right?
Something like that, yeah.
So, well, I think the next time he goes, it'll be a long, long time.
Well, he's on this show right now. We have a special guest. Well, this is his last show, Racing Refresh Happy Hour.
All I know is I look like a stud, folks.
You look like a tiny dancer.
Some call me Rocket Man. Anywho, is that all you got, Peggy?
Well, Adam's story reminded me of that video where the tire
hits the lady, bounces and hits the lady. And it gets it right in the back of the neck, too.
I have it here.
Oh, my.
Well, that's what you spent her last few minutes doing. Are we about to play this?
I think so.
Oh, boy.
This is high quality production.
Yeah, because it kind of wraps around and bam. Look at this.
Boom. Oh, ouch.
I mean, it knocks your shoes off, for God's sake.
Listen, we are way over time. We're praying for her. Thank you for sharing that, Peggy.
We're praying for her, and this has been one of the greatest episodes we've ever done, I think.
It's
certainly one of the greatest episodes we've done on this date. And so with that, we hope you're well. We hope you enjoy the racing. And I know I never say this, but how about a little rain for New Hampshire? Way I can watch the race on Monday, huh? Anywho, I hope everybody's well. I love each and every one of you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we'll see you next week right here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. I might bring the glasses. We'll see. We're out of here.